Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism, to end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means
coming to you from San Joaquin County, California, and this is football, basketball, and sports politics. Tonight we're discussing the NFL regulations regarding the players who must stand for the national anthem, and also to their lack of regard for the players' concern about these police killings and what have you. And in these contemporary times with this political fervor that's going on, we need to be concerned with ourselves as opposed to everybody else. So we're going to invite our callers to give us a call here at area code 646-564-9630. And press 1 to speak live on the air. And Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, we deal with the Black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Or our hashtags tonight are the NBA, the NFL, pro sports, resurrection of the mental dead, politics, black power, liberation-minded media, Black I Stand, the rare Chicago, and black people in the Congressional Black Caucus. Also, too, we want to give a shout-out there to liberationmindedmedia.net. Also, too, we want to give a shout-out there to New Era Chicago of the work of what they've been doing, and check their latest post out of what's happening in the city of Chicago. In addition to I want to give a shout out there to all the RBGs up there in the Pacific Northwest as well, too. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment is supposed to say that you're supposed to have the freedom of speech, right? Now, when Colin Kaepernick had started his kneeling down process, he was trying to bring attention to a very, very serious problem in this country of where the police are shooting unarmed black men. Now, this raises here two issues. Number one, the NFL's lack of regard, you know, for the situation. Also, two, of how a lot of players who are non-black who are boycotting the NFL themselves is because they don't like the idea of the players not standing for the flag. So this here, this happens on two fronts right here on the economical situation of it. Now, as the protest grew throughout the NFL, and other players were joining Mr. Kaepernick, also too at the professional level, and then also too at the collegiate level, and from what I understand at the scholastic level as well, too in high school sports, where all the athletes, you know, were taking, you know, a knee into the protest of currently what's going on. Now, white America, in its arrogance, totally ignored and ridiculed the reason of why the players are protesting in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is skewed.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi. Who is this? Hello?
Hello?
Isaiah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, Queen.
It's D. How you doing, baby? What's up?
What's up? How you doing? What's going on?
I'm chilling. I'm waiting for the show to come back up.
Me
it
too.
It got dropped.
Some reason his car got dropped. Yeah, I'm waiting too.
It must be the studio. Yeah, it's the studio.
Yeah.
So what you doing, man?
Over
here on
my side.
Hello.
I'm doing
Yeah,
good.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Yeah, we see you there, Brother Isaiah. Yeah, sorry about that. That day up here screwing, you know, around.
Right.
Algorithms once again, you see, is because it's the subject matter of what we're talking about, and we are asking our people to give us a call right here, right back, is because, like I said, you know, I dialed in here to the studio and all that, and nothing showed up on my board. Okay, so we apologize that there, ladies and gentlemen, for the glitch, and as we all know, when it comes to pro-black groups and what have you, you know, this social media, you know, has a way of quote-unquote, yeah, regulating us and throwing monkey wrenches in our works. But what we're talking about, folks, is football, basketball, and sport politics, and I'm going to tell you the crux of it, what it is tonight. Every damn black player in the National Basketball Association and the NFL and the National Football League should not show up to the next games. Now, we understand you athletes go through all this right here, and you go through a lot of hard work. That's your dream. Great, beautiful. But we cannot sit up here and have it being ignored where we are being murdered in the street with these state-sanctioned homicides, and then when somebody goes out here and exercises their supposedly First Amendment right, like what Colin Kaepernick was doing with the kneel-down protest that followed throughout the NFL and at the collegiate level and also, too, at the secondary high school level, too, where a lot of the athletes, you know, is taking a knee as well. So, therefore, folks, you're welcome to give us a call here at 646-564-9630. Press 1 to speak live on the air. And tonight's subject is, once again, is football, basketball, and sports politics. Now, let's look at something here. Okay, they say they had the First Amendment right, you know, to go out here, you know, with the freedom of speech, okay? Now, why is it that when we go out here and exercise our so-called freedom of speech, we get censored. Now, what's currently going on that I want to bring up to light, too, is that with this immigration situation down here in Texas, are these children being detained at the border away from their parents and all this old type of stuff. First place, black people, we don't have time to be concerned with that issue, is because we have to look at the facts of what happened to our families on the plantation system of the United States that they still do not recognize or address today. So therefore, this business about reaching out here to other groups and other races and all that, we need to put that there on the back burner, because we are in a state of emergency. We have to clean up our own house first and deal with our own backyard before we going out here running to these, helping these other groups who really don't care about us either, is because when it comes down to it, they are not going to be down with us. Let's be real about that. Really.
Well,
and there
you're
are
right.
Those who
they
are
stood on the sidelines when we were having that kind of drama. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. You see? Without a doubt. And so how do we look, you know, being in a state of emergency ourselves and going up here helping another group with their problem? Now, keep in mind, when our children were separated from their parents on a plantation system through the auction block.
God have mercy.
And what have you, you know, we wasn't getting too much concern about that. But then when the police go out here and murder us and their public figures who are black that try to bring attention to this, then, of course, you know, like in a sports league, you know, they want to go through and make all these regulations, but they do not wish to address the situation of why the athletes are protesting in the first place. So what I say that every
black
man and woman out there, you know, should not spend that one damn dime on any type of professional sports, okay? And I don't give a damn about your favorite wide receiver. I don't care about your damn power forward or your shooting guard and what have you. With them sitting there coming down on a black athlete for protesting these police murders, ladies and gentlemen, is an insult to our intelligence on a collective basis. And it's a direct insult to us on a collective and on an individual basis as well, too. Now, let the white people boycott it. It's because the white people, they want to boycott it because they're saying is that we disrespecting a flag, you know, a flag that refuses to serve us, a flag that degrades us. And then look at the current regime that you have in office right now with the political fervor of what's going on right here of these white nationalists and these white supremacists. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do is focus on our self-preservation and for us doing for ourselves economically, politically, and educationally. Also, too, these black-ass politicians. Now, I want you black-ass lying politicians to prove me a lie. I want to see one of you sorry-ass politicians get up there and do something and protect the people that you swore to uphold the law to protect under the 14th Amendment, which is black people. But none of you black-ass politicians are addressing that issue right there. I see that crook, Kwame and Patrick, what's his name, the mayor of Detroit, the one that took all the bribe money or some shit like that, and they giving him 20 years, and this Negro is dying there on his hands, and he's talking about, Master Trump, oh, give me a pardon. But his sorry black-ass is going to sit up there and sell out the people that there that elected him. The same thing with any of these sorry black-ass politicians. And then it comes to my attention, and then when I see them sitting up there, you know, sitting at the in the U.S. Congress on their asses, like in the Civil Rights Movement, sitting at the lunch counter begging for a cup of coffee, that is not progress, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure, man.
Yeah.
That is not progress. What that is cognitive dissonance. That is the Stockholm syndrome, the post-traumatic slave syndrome that a lot of our great scholars have written on and that they have mentioned about in their lectures as well. They're welcome to give us a call as well, too. And then, people, it should go to show is that with white America boycotting the NFL as well, too, this year is hurting the coffers of the National Football League on two fronts. One is that the people in the white community are not going, okay, that's costing them money. Plus, they're losing sponsorships. Now, this is a very, very key thing is that not only boycott the NFL, but boycott the sponsors as well, too. Now, I do understand that you NFL players and the NBA players got contracts and you're pretty much on puppet strings to Master Charlie. Great, beautiful. But, however, I do want to say recently that the Golden State Warriors, when they won the NBA title, the only reason I went out there and did a live feed from around the Lake Merritt area where they're celebrating is because they had announced publicly that they would not be going to see the dump in Washington. Okay, so I give them their respect on that, but, however, I still advocate that we still boycott the National Basketball Association and the National Football League and Major League Baseball as well, too, and only support the teams in which the black players will pool their resources in which they will purchase the teams themselves and start their own league. You see? It's because, and another thing, too, as much as that I love sports.
And they can do it, though. They can do it, and they just don't take the time to do it because they are just
exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, Isaiah. You see, is because they will sit up here, come to us with this cognitive dissonance. Oh, no, it ain't have nothing to do about race. Okay, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain with that Walt Disney. No, not Walt Disney, that MGM, Wizard of Oz bullshit, something like that right there. And this is exactly what they're doing to us as a people, ladies and gentlemen, is that the NFL is telling us pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Okay, now, why must we still continue with this cognitive dissonance saying that this problem does not exist when it clearly does? And then also, too, that has come to my attention is that we're looking at all these commercials for these major products that you see advertised is that they're killing off the image of the black family unit. Mainly, they're killing off the image of the black male being in the black family unit. So this is another reason why, we want to boycott this NFL, NBA type of shit. You see, it's because none of the black players are not doing anything to re-uphold the strong male black image. Now, with Colin Kaepernick, doing a protest and with other players following suit, this might have been the most boldest move of any professional athlete to bring social attention to a serious problem within the black community since 50 years ago when the heavyweight champion refused to go into the military and stated his reasons is because, the Viet Cong ain't never called them that. They never bombed a black church. They never raped our women and what have you, okay? And he had sacrificed his prime years in his sport. So, therefore, it's quite essential for these black athletes to go up here, set the example, is that, hey, you're not going to sit up here and treat my people like this, you see? And really, with every black professional athlete in organized sports, rather if it's baseball, football, or basketball, sit the damn season out. Sit the season out.
All right.
Sit the season out.
All
don't
right.
Even
you think
show
they want,
up. Don't
you
even
think
play
they're
damn
thinking
game.
About?
Wait, say,
do you think they? You think they will take it that far?
Okay, no, ma'am, I don't think that they will. Really, I don't think they will. But however, I do recognize that LeBron James had said that had the Cavaliers won the NBA title, that they wasn't going either. We appreciate the Warriors saying that they're not going to see the dump, which I believe is unprecedented. Okay, and I believe that this is unprecedented. And then also, too, and this is why I appreciate Dr. Boris Watkins and Dr. Claude Anderson of the Financial Juneteenth that Dr. Watkins does, and also to raising the consciousness level within the black community, and also to putting the information out there for us to become an economical superpower, is because we are already an economical superpower as long as that we are consumer. But what we have to do is become producers. And like I said, every time I see one of these cargo container ships come through San Francisco Bay unloading that silicon down in Silicon Valley so these individuals could sell us some more of this manipulative spyware shit.
Can you tell me where this silicon is coming from? Where they get this
from?
Okay,
the silicon.
Don't
the
tell
raw
me.
Material, the silicon. Oh, yeah. It comes from the heart of Africa. It comes from the Congo.
Right.
And that's why the Chinese are over there. The Chinese have taken over in the Congo where the Belgians left off at. So then they ship the raw material of the silicon to China, where they refine it.
Right.
You know, to turn it into crude materials and parts that they need, you know, for all the stuff that goes in the cell phones, the laptops, the desktops, the microphones, all of that. They in turn, you know, ship it over here in the Silicon Valley in these damn containers, and Silicon Valley goes ahead there and assembles this shit. Then they set it up there and send it to your local stores and retailers for you to buy it.
And the nerve of them had to put made in China in Japan instead of a made in Korea.
Okay, but at the same token, that don't serve us no good. That's helping the Japanese economy. That's helping the Chinese economy, but it's not doing
shit
for our economy.
Exactly.
That's right.
But yet, though, they go into our continent, getting the resources, exploiting our people down there in those unsafe mines, getting it, and only paying them chicken feed, and they're making trillions upon trillions of dollars off of this shit. Mm-hmm. Seriously. You should look at downtown San Francisco currently. It's because they got a skyscraper being built on every damn corner there from this trillion-dollar industry of Silicon Valley. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, is that I don't know if you have gotten it, but I've gotten it, where they're talking about that they got some new rules and regulations about how they're going to share your information with these damn advertisers. Me, personally, I don't want them sharing my information with those damn advertisers because I'm not interested in shit that they're trying to sell me. I don't want none of that bullshit. I don't give a fuck about your pop-ups, okay? I don't give a fuck, you know, to give you my location. It's none of your goddamn business, Zuckerberg, where my fucking location is. It's none of your goddamn business.
Right.
And yeah, we said it right here. And then these sons of bitches want you to go out here and talk about where all the major retailers are by you and all that bullshit. Why in the fuck am I going out here doing market research for you that I'm paying a goddamn bill every month on for my convenience and what I need to do? And then you want to put up all this pop-up block shit. I don't give a fuck about what's playing at the movies. I could care less what Walgreens got going on. I do not give a good goddamn. And I want to be perfectly clear
about that.
Yes, sir. And then you sons of bitches are sitting up there acting like you're doing us a favor, spying on us, putting trolls on our Facebook page. Same thing with Twitter. Then all of a sudden you got all these new rules and regulations and all this shit that we want to interact. No, your motherfuckers is up here spying on us.
That's what you're doing.
And go ruin our lifestyles and what have you. Then you get these damn cognitive dissonant ass Negroes that sit up there and go with this bullshit. You see, that's the problem, people. It's like Malcolm told us over 50 years ago. We still got this chain on the brain talking about, boss, we sick. Oh, I don't want to make no waves. But yet, though, these motherfuckers are killing us.
Disgusting.
It's so disgusting, man.
What's disgusting, in my opinion, not only are we being assassinated and murdered with these state-sanctioned homicides, is disgusting, which is even more incredible, is the inaction and the inertia and the brain death of these so-called black celebrities and power mover and brokers and what have you. And that just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, is that they don't control shit. See, this illusion of inclusion, ladies and gentlemen, has got to come to an end. We banged our head against the walls for 50 years, sitting at a lunch counter begging for a damn cup of coffee, and we're still getting killed. So therefore, it's only logical that we come up with another course and plan of action. Now, with me being here on the West Coast, ladies and gentlemen, in my travels through the Bay Area Rapid Transit System and my daily activities of making my living, I'm looking at all these individuals who are coming out of these firms dealing with Silicon Valley. And as I stated on previous podcasts, is that very, very few black people work in Silicon Valley. But the groups of people that you see are all these immigrants that the dump regime and all them are talking about. People from Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
India, Asia, and what have you. I don't see people
coming
there working
Silicon
at
Valley,
making that money there, coming out.
Nope.
I don't see people there from West Africa or for the Caribbean, you know, with those high paying jobs over there. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All I see is
mm-hmm.
other groups of people. And then the sad part about it is that what I see here in the state of California, where we make up very, very little of the population here, censor-wise, but at the same token, are we making up the majority of the fucking homeless out here, black men in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Standing on the side of a damn highway, expressway, freeway, talking about, man, you got a little change. I work for food. What
in the hell
is that?
That is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Shame, dude.
I've
been seeing that
it's
on
discrimination.
My
that's what it is.
Not only that there too, sister, but systematically it has gone to show that we have been dummy down, manipulated, not to be self-sufficient. It's because if we were self-sufficient economically, educationally, and politically, our people would not be out there standing on the damn side of the freeway, panhandling for change and all of that. And then, of course, we do know the social ills that do go on in the black community that contribute, you know, a great deal to this, you see. So, like I said, you know, with football, basketball, and sports, politics is basically saying is that you Negroes are okay to play professional sports as long as that you are not doing nothing for yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And always on the contribute to their master, and that's it. They just don't want
to. Pretty much,
They don't give a fuck about it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you know, times have got to change. That's all. Period.
No,
times have to change, period. Otherwise, we're going to keep living just like you described.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You understand
what
I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Therefore,
we start
with our youth, and we start teaching them.
Exactly.
We start homeschooling them. We start giving them all the education on the knowledge that we have for the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
that's all
we can do at this time.
That's right.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And then also too, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read an article by Andrew Malcolm that came out of the San Francisco Chronicle, and this is dated June 1st, 2018. Okay, and the title of his article is "The National Football League Controversy About More Than a Flag." These are his words. On the surface, the NFL looks to have diffused the emotional and costly controversy over players kneeling for the national anthem before every game. In a clever public relations move, the NFL ruled last week that all players on the field must stand respectfully for the national anthem. However, not all players must be on the field for the national anthem. Those multimillionaires who want to protest in the inequalities of American society for free can stay in the locker room until kickoff. Okay, right there, you see the marginalization right there, people.
Hell
yeah. You see the marginalization right there?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Okay, so that's pretty much that bullshit they want to say, out of sight, out of mind, huh? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
Exactly.
Continuing with Andrew Malcolm's article here, it states, let's get serious. What are the chances that this minority of unhappy players will forsake the opportunity for national publicity by sitting obscurely in a smelly locker room instead of making that statement of publicly kneeling in front of thousands of fans? About the same as the Cleveland Browns winning the next Super Bowl, whatever what he meant by that.
Dang.
Because like I said, since then, you know, I haven't looked at any pro sports, nor have I even kept up with it. And the only reason I was known that the Warriors won the NBA title is because, you know, of me residing here in near Panther Town, you see. Other than that, I didn't keep up with none of the NFL or the NBA. And keep in mind, I like sports as well, too. Now, getting back to this article, the controversy which began almost 2 years ago when the 49ers quarterback at the time, Colin Kaepernick, refused to stand for the anthem is a disturbing one. Playoffs a mere game, but it's serious business. Now, get this. It's serious business, particularly with these playoff games, costing the NFL league teams, advertisers, television networks, parking lots, and sport bars countless of millions of dollars in lost revenues, lost viewers, and considerable goodwill, even among disaffected non-fans. Okay, now, that's the key right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the key right there. Breaking their asses right there. Yes, that is just a universal law principle under the law of economics. Right there is the key. Right there. You see, costing the league teams, the advertisers are pulling out. Okay, television networks don't want to deal with them. Fine, no, that's what you want to do. So that's what you want to do. See, that's the only way they're going to understand the fucking message.
And like I said,
just like
before,
the same way
right.
is that in 1955, when they damn near broke the Montgomery Bus Company down there in 1955.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So let's use the same economical principle right here, because see, he just told you right there. He just gave up the whole card right there. You see, the advertisers. You see what I'm saying? The networks themselves.
Yep.
But however, as he states, it's right here, as the league has already suffered black eyes from off-the-field thuggery of some players and its tardy attention to the devastating bodily damages, especially to the head. But more importantly, the controversy reveals profound fissures within the American society. These are primarily between urban, eastern, sophisticates, and great unwashed masses of flyover country, most of whom can no longer afford to take their family to even one football fiesta per season. You see? So he's even just showing that the economical damage within the white community. See, it's high quality. These damn tickets are, you know, going to these NFL games and what have you. You see? These are people who increasingly have felt ignored and patronized by any powers that be, especially those in Washington, New York, and Los Angeles. They sense an erosion of traditional values, norms, even manners under the pressures of a changing economy, bitterly divisive and permissive politics, immigrants who resist assimilation and seem to threaten jobs amongst other causes. So once again, he's pretty much saying here about the chain reaction that this can cause in the whole economy. You see? So the more reason of why the black players should not even fucking play. Say, the more reason. You see? The more reason. You see, now that there would be the proper example to set the young black men, you know, to do the proper thing. Flex your economical muscle. Show your worth right there. You see what I mean? And then, getting back to this guy's article. Okay, well, we need it to come to that. Yes, that's exactly what is needed for it to come
to
that.
It's up to the players. And by them
starting
the protest, by taking the knee, you never know where it's going to go from there.
Right.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, you see, just like what the heavyweight champion did over 50 years ago, he sacrificed his prime years.
He was saying, like, I'm not going to no wars. He'll say, I'm not going to no wars.
Who's that?
And I'm trying to fight for this country that don't get
Shit. Right. And then the Viet Cong ain't never called me the NGR term to bomb our churches.
That's right.
White Americans did that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Just like when we did the show there on the Atlanta child murders, you know, about what New Era Chicago is bringing to the attention. And we got a lot of our missing young people there in the city of Chicago. So they're taking the incentive going out there to get to the bottom of it, you see? They say, you know, this white establishment don't give a fuck about us.
No, they don't.
And any of you brain dead ass scratching coons are welcome to give us a call at 646-564-9630. Let's have a conversation about it. Prove me a lie. Yes, sir. I'll say it again. We need to boycott the National Basketball Association and the NFL. And I like sports, but I'd be damned if I'm going to sit up here and support an institution that sits up there and gives us okay through its silence that is all right for the police departments to murder us. Yes, sir. Just like what the slave catchers was doing, because this is what the police departments evolved from. They evolved from slave catchers.
That's right.
Say. You see what I mean? Under the Fugitive Slave Act. where they'll send U.S. marshals across state lines to get your runaway slaves and take them back down into the plantation systems, even pulling them out of areas where slavery was prohibited against the state constitution, like California and the state of Oregon. See?
That's crazy.
See? Oh, yeah, no, not only is it crazy, Isaiah, it's set up this way, it's systematic. This is the ethos of white America. As long as that the ethos of white America in regard to us as a people is that we are still considered three-fifths of a human being. We are chattel. We are property. We were never intended to be citizens of the United States in the ruling of the Dred Scott case. Look at some of my theme videos that we put up there on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And then also, too, for our listeners out there, yes, we do have advertisement slots available, very, very nominal. Please inbox here on our like page at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook. But getting back here to the article, alrighty, all this seems perversely supported by smothering media. Those worried Americans turn on the TV and get lectured by actors and late-night hosts touting the alien coastal values causes an over-the-top revulsion for the man-elected president. But, however, white America, now this is my interjection, you elected him, okay? They go to watch the NFL for fun, and the first thing is a political protest that interrupts what's supposed to be entertainment, and that insults patriotic values, once virtually unanimously held. So intentionally provocative are the protests that profess claims of free speech rights gets lost in a two-way anger. Compromise is a bad word, not just in Congress. Millions of football viewers didn't compromise either. They sent a message last fall. The overall NFL TV ratings were down 9%, and social media was rife with former fans expressing surprise how little they missed the games. Paradoxically, now paradox is a contradiction that is true. Of the 17 Republican presidential candidates in 2016 and the initial four Democrats, only the Ivy League educated New Yorker with billions of dollars and an ego to match detected that voter angst. He didn't create the anger. He wrote it. So he won, and the losers still can't accept that because that would mean accepting that they were wrong. It's his fault. Thus, it was predictable last fall when the unpredictable Donald Trump himself, once a pro football team owner, denounced kneelers for disrespecting the flag and owners for not firing them. Okay. For the owners of not firing them. Yep. Like I said, let all the black players not show up and play the damn game.
Exactly.
They don't come to that. They won't come to that.
Okay, now get this here.
I promise you.
Okay, now get this here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, talked it accurately, many players' deep community involvement. And he added last week, you know, before this article, which is dated June the 1st, it is unfortunate that an unfilled protest created a false perception among many that thousands of NFL players were unpatriotic. This is not and never was the case. The league's resulting response was craftily designed to appear to address free speech concerns by allowing self-selected players to avoid the national anthem and honoring the flag, but it dumped its responsibility for the enforcement on the 32 team. The league will fine the organizations not offending players who fail to comply. Team owners agreed on the new policy, but several of the owners said that they would simply pay the fines without disciplining players, essentially a stay-out-of-jail invitation to disobey the compromise. In other words,
okay,
our way is the only
way.
They
got fined for kneeling, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
No, well, I don't know exactly what the fines are, but a few of the owners of the teams that did state that they don't care what the fines are, that they will go ahead and pay the fines, and that they will not discipline the players. So therefore, with the owners doing that goes to show that they're divided within their own house themselves on this issue.
Can I ask you something? Who?
Yes, ma'am.
Who is charging the fines?
Okay, it's the league who imposes the fine, the National Football League. Okay, the lead, you know, it's kind of like the regulatory body of it. Do you see? You see what I mean?
Right. So they find in the owners.
Yeah, they find the
owners. The owners are responsible.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but a few of the owners are saying, well, we don't care what it is. We're just going to go ahead and pay it, and we're not going to discipline the player. But like I said, if there's such a true solidarity of what's happening to black people here in the United States, and if the illusion is, of inclusion is real, then every damn body who watches the NFL will be protesting it. You see, this is the hypocrisy that we're exposing here on Chicago's Black Experience.
Exactly. You know what it is. It's straight. Racism. It don't matter. It's nothing about the black, about them. They don't care about
them. They don't care. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's quite evident that they don't care. Yeah, see, just with the policy of this, but what the sad part about it is through the cognitive dissonance of the brain-dead Negro and a Stockholm syndrome and a post-traumatic syndrome, slave syndrome, that is, he can't see through this. He said that's the chain on his brain. Now, I do recognize the fact that pro athletes do go through a lot of hard training. They do go through a lot of personal sacrifice. Yep. They do go through a lot of pain, sweat, and injuries, you know, to achieve that goal. So, you know, I respect them for that.
Okay.
But it seems to me is that with the NFL, with 70% of the personnel being black, it's a no-brainer for us to go out there and form our own leagues. It's because if every black player in the NFL left the NFL and formed their own league, I honestly believe that the NFL would be out of business within 6 months. It's because everybody would want to go be the great black player. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we make up 70% of it. You see what I mean? Now, the kind of man that I've heard
and like
of,
I said before, all the white owners all see is black athletes with dollar signs over their heads, because you know those white athletes are not as good as us. So, they look at us like, he can jump, he can score a touchdown, he can hit a home run, he got something. And then they always try to this is crazy though. You know what?
Most definitely. And then, of course, you know, then there are those, you know, who would say, well, you know, the athletes are violating their contracts and all this whole type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now keep in mind, this is not a strike, okay? A strike deals with wages and compensations for what you're dealing with. This is a social issue. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Going on.
Right.
Do have freedom of speech.
So they do. Ma'am, let's be honest about something. Black people don't have no rights in this country. The only right that black people got in this country is to be murdered by the police. That's the only right that we have.
No, that
all
ain't, no. I don't know
that
what
you're talking
about. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. They
ain't
going to come up here
doing
and keep
us,
killing
I'm
us.
What I'm saying is that they're lying. Yeah, no, that's what they're doing. See, so that goes to prove that we don't have no rights. And then do let me say is that these lying black-ass politicians, that every last damn one of them need to be brought up on charges for failure to give us equal protection under their law. Now, I'm reading their law.
You
see, this is their law that when they sit up there.
Excuse you. We pay taxes. We are citizens. They are just caged beasts who hate black people. If you hate a dog from running up and biting you, you will shoot it because you hate it and you're scared. And that's what they are. They hate and they're scared.
You're talking about the black politicians, correct? That's the
I'm
police.
Not.
You know.
I'm talking about them in general, the white people in general, the haters and the murderers and the slave owning mentality people is who I'm talking about.
Right.
We got a right to be here just as much as them.
Like I said before, we are the original people.
Well, as they said, that we have a right to exist, and we have the right to survive. You see, but what it is this brain death, and it's dumbing down. You know, that has to be addressed as well too. You see,
that's true.
Particularly, you
I'm
know, with
our lives matter because we are human. We
right,
human.
But they don't look at us
I
as human. Of course, everything that.
Exactly. They don't look at
you
as a human. Yep.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, sister, but what I'm just saying is that the general attitude, in my opinion, of white America is that they view us as subhuman. You see? Period.
No. They living in la-la land. That's some bullshit, what they thinking. You understand
well,
what I'm saying?
You know
I'm talking
bullshit,
about the murder.
Of course.
Specifically.
Yeah, no.
They have
yeah,
no right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Practice
come
of
murder
original
anybody.
Subhuman because
that's
of, and they were not human. And the crackers are not human, period.
Right.
They are subhuman. They are animal bestiality. So that's what they are.
Yeah, you see.
Putting a robe over their goddamn face so we can't see who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly, you see. And then also, too, we see we got another caller here at the 404 area code. Okay, and if you would like to speak, you know, please press 1. We'll be more than happy to have you on the air. But once again, though, is that this mentality has got to change, you see. Now, the brother who I'm taking notice of, who is the brother, Sister DeMacy, you know, him and his brother used to, they were both wide receivers, the Sharp brothers, Shannon Sharp and Sterling Sharp. But anyway, one of the brothers comes on an NFL show, and he does bring up a lot of awareness about, you know, why the black athletes are protesting. And I believe that Mr. Sharp, you know, did stated that something is very, very wrong here going on when the police go out here and murder our people. And then when public figures, you know, in pro sports want to sit up here and bring attention to this, and then they looked upon as the bad guy. So once again, that there's that selective amnesia shit, that cognitive dissonance, like that ass-scratching, chicken-pecking Uncle Tom, Dr. Ben Carson. Well, you know, the African immigrants here, people, they came here looking for the American dream. Nigga, if you don't get your crazy dead ass to fuck away from me with that bullshit, that's an insult to my touch.
Right. I'd say the same shit.
Oh, my God. They said he self-medicated.
No. Sister, what that is that somebody is pissing on you, urinating on you, telling you that it is rain. Defecating on
you,
telling you
snow.
That it is snow. Who wants to be that fucking stupid and that damn ignorant to sit up there and believe that shit? Okay, you have my sympathy. Okay, you really do. If you can believe
got
that, man. But when you say
you
I believe it, that's a whole different ball game altogether.
If you don't have my sympathy whatsoever.
Oh yeah, and once again, you know, you still got this brain death. You know, this ass-scratching house Negro syndrome that needs to be broken.
Yep.
It really does.
Exactly.
It really does, you see.
And then we produce enough wealth,
ladies and gentlemen, we produce enough wealth right here is where you could take a 50-mile stretch in Northern California and have it controlling the world's economy through social media. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's because we are perhaps one of the biggest consumers gone. You see what I mean? You know, this is why we must become consumers, you see. But however, though, that we do have another caller here out of the 404 area code. The last four is 4727.
Hey, we ain't got to put all my number out there, player. Come on now. What's going on?
Who is this here caller?
Yeah, this is Nas, man. What's up, Chewbacca? We didn't talk
to you. Hey,
Ronnie,
how you doing, Mr. Nas? It's always a pleasure to have you, man. I know you're dropping bombs on this impromptu show. show. Now, I want to get to some of your feedback down, man, because I've been seeing you guys doing a lot of great work here, man, over the net at Liberation Minded Media. Now, just what is your feedback on this here, you know, with the NBA and the National Football League, you know, putting down these regulations that these black players must sit up here and stand for the national anthem, but at the same token, none of these institutions are examining the reason why that the players are protesting in the first place.
Well, the NBA and the NFL are really, really different. The NBA,
okay,
you know, those rules they came up with, those are collectively bargained with the players. So the Players Association made a deal with them as far as the anthem based off Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf back in the day when he was protesting the anthem. So that's where all that came from. Now, the NFL is totally different because the NFL is totally different because they don't talk to the players. They just rain down from the top. This is what we're doing, and y'all going to have to abide by it. So we're going to see this year what the players kind of are made of, really. Like, are they going to fight for their own dignity?
Sir.
Are they going to show that they're not going to be bullied around like that? Because if we're putting this in a real context, even if these players ain't activists, if you allow the ownership group to run over you like that, what you think going to happen when you sit down for the CBA negotiation? And they start taking your money.
Absolutely.
So the players
have
to stand up for themselves. And I'm gonna do it like this. I'm gonna give it to week two of the NFL season this year. If I see the players standing up for themselves and bucking back, then I watch some games. But if I see them fall in line and let these dudes run over them like this, then I ain't watching.
Yes, sir.
Point blank.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, yes, sir. I agree with you on that there too, there, Mr. Nice. And then also too, in addition to that, I want to mention that these black politicians, mainly at the federal level, is because I think the black politician would have more juice at the local level, is because, like I've said up on my wall many a times, you know, black politicians ain't shit. Yeah, I've said it, but however, I want to be proved a liar by a black politician, if not several of them, who will stand up there and do their job and says, hey, you know what? I was elected to this job, and I am going to give my people equal protection under the law, which is required under the 14th Amendment. I mean, but you see, but once again, this is where we're getting into hypocrisy, is because with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, then you cannot help but bring in the Dred Scott situation with that. It's because the United States Supreme Court had ruled in that case is that those of African descent were never intended to be citizens or to get protections up under the U.S. Constitution. Yes, so therefore, so where's the black politician on that one right there as well, too? Also, too, I'm very, very disappointed in some of these black-ass politicians that I have to say. I'm not going to say any names, but this is in the congressional level, and those of you in the Congressional Black Caucus, you're welcome to call in here, too. You don't have to agree with me, say what you want to say, but this is very, very much of a concern of mine. Two that I know of, black politicians from the civil rights era have went there and sat on the floor of the U.S. Congress, you know, reminiscent of the civil rights era of the early 1960s. And as Malcolm had told us there over 50 years ago, in which he was right about you sitting at a lunch counter begging for a cup of coffee. When we should be standing up as men and women, standing up here protecting our damn selves economically, politically, militaristically, you know, if it has to be. It's because these people are going out here. They are assassinating us, just like that coward Geronimo Yanez murdered Philando Castile. And so for all of you out there who's worried about what's happening with these immigrants dying there with these children and all that, just keep in mind of what they used to do to black children on the damn plantation system. You see what I'm saying? They were separated from their families indefinitely. So you have to excuse me if that's not an issue with me, because right now my people are in a state of emergency and we have to maintain our own self-existence and our own self-preservation before we go out here and help any damn body else. And you could best believe if the situation is reserved, they're going to be more concerned about their interests than ours, as well as they should. Just like we should be more concerned about our interests than theirs. Now, for all you Kool-Aid drinkers, I'm putting you on the spot. All you ass-scratching Kool-Aid drinkers, you know, who don't see color, yeah, please call up if you could handle some of this heat. And you may call this number at 646-564-9630, and your ass will be roasted. We'll let you talk.
Uh-huh.
We'll be courteous.
Yeah.
We'll be nice to
and
you.
And I'm right here.
We'll appreciate your call. You see? Okay, but what's happening is, and we do understand Mr. Tom and Mr. Coon and Ms. Coonette, I do know that you're going through some personal reflection. You are realizing that you were lied to when you thought that not to see color. You forgot the part where color sees your black ass. Okay, so we understand your illness. We understand your syndrome. You see what I mean? Okay. But we're going to roast your ass alive and get you some act right on this. Now, look at what Sister Harriet Tubman had to go through when she was running the Underground Railroad. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, once you get on this train, there ain't no turning back. Mm-hmm. And then here you get big old size football player size Negroes, you know, like when Mr. Nance was saying, right, his 6 feet eight went 250. Oh, no, we can't leave here. We got to go
you
get back there to match. And what did Sister Harriet Tubman do? She would level that street sweeper and cock both barrels of that shotgun and say, look, Trick, you got exactly five seconds to make your mind up. And you're going to be on this train or I'm going to decorate that tree with your brains. It's that simple.
Right.
See, it's that simple. That's it. But, however, you know, is that a lot of our scholars have written, with the miseducation of the Negro is taught, you know, to worship everything other than himself. He's taught to worship the European, and he's taught to despise the African, meaning that he's taught to despise himself. You see? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Carter G and his miseducation of the Negro. Also, too, I want to give a shout out there to the works of Dr. Marimba Ani, who did a series of writings of Urugu, and also, too, you know, the great work that she did on Let the Circle Be Unbroken, where she had did research of 15 years, you know, on the continent and what have you as well, too, and what she describes the Ma'afa, which is a disaster so great beyond description. And I ask you, black man and woman, is this cognitive dissonance and this Stockholm slave syndrome a Ma'afa?
What is a Ma'afa?
Which is a great disaster. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that called in, please stay on the line. We're going in overtime right now. What's happening is we got about 30 more seconds left, and unfortunately, those won't be able to call in, so please stay in queue. Mm-hmm. You know, as we continue out here, we're going to start going to our closing comments shortly. First of all, we want to give a shout-out there to Sister Asada Shakur for her opening intro on the music of The Revolution is Love. That there's Tupac signing the one and only Ms. Asada Shakur. And, of course, we know her story and her birthday or her solar return date is coming up next month. And quite naturally, of course, we're going to be doing a tribute to her once again as well too for her great sacrifice. So, therefore, moving right along on this here, Nas, I'm going to take it to you, then I'm going to take it to Isaiah, then I'm going to take it to DeMacy. I agree with you, you know, if the black players do stand up, you know, I would resume back to watching the NFL because I do understand that's how they make their money. But like you said, if they're just going to sit there and knuckle under, man, and eat cheese, man, then I'm going to quit watching it too. So what's your comments on that now?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the same idea you take to the rest of society. For the most part, every group is going to have traitors within it, going to have people who run to the other side because it's easier, so we should expect it.
Yes, sir.
But the organizing efforts have to be more than double, man. We spend way more time doing all other activities than we do actually organizing and getting free. So the more time we spend it and actually donating to these local groups that need your money to do the work that really matters and putting in the time and effort, then, you know, all these things will happen. Like, this is not like some kind of fight that's going to end in your lifetime. This is a generational fight. They only been on top for 500 years. And sometimes we get confused and start thinking this is how it always was. Like, no, this is just a small period. And as you can look around and see, they're in serious decline. Things are going badly for them, and you got a rising power over in Asia. So we got to prepare ourselves and be ready to defend ourselves against anybody, and that's just going to cause us.
Exactly.
It's going to take a lot of organization and unity and understanding that we are all African first. Now, if we get that mentality, then we're really talking about something. But until then, it's just going to be people trying to do patchwork until we can get better. But a lot of work to be done.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Isaiah, what you got to say on that?
I got to say, I agree with all y'all are saying. I completely agree. All I'm saying is, like I said before, time to turn off the TV because all it is it's a distraction over us. Like we are brainwashed. Like we need to get out of that, and we need to lift from our youth. Teach them the right things. If we don't, they will go out and do the wrong things, and we don't want to see that happen.
Right.
So all I gotta say is to stand up and fight for ourselves, and we're gonna go and get through this because this is. Right here, because I'm tired of seeing the same old bullshit every time. History repeating itself over again and over again. Like I said, I'm taking a stand. You know, we need a plan. We need a plan to get a better on the economics and stuff. To raise our money up so we can build. Build schools some for our kids, and build a better
cooperative economics. Cooperative economics is what you're talking about there, Brother Isaiah. Okay, Sister DeMacy, what you got to say on all this?
Well, my concern right now is our children. You know, getting them prepared, letting them know. You know, teaching them about the history. Of this country, teaching them about the history of white people. I had to say it. I had to say it straight out like that because I want my children to be aware and know how to maneuver, you know, while they're here and what to expect and what they should do.
That's all.
That is what I'm focused on.
Yes, ma'am, and I agree with you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and my closing statement here tonight is that we definitely appreciate all our callers and listeners, you know, chiming in to us. Definitely go to our like page on Facebook, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We're putting together a series of theme videos that we will be using for our advertisement slots as well, too. If you're interested to donating to our platform or advertising on our platform, please inbox us at our like page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We'll be definitely be happy to work with you, and definitely, of course, we want to give a shout out there to all the RBGs for all the people putting in the work out there on the platforms, those standing up there for themselves. We definitely appreciate Mr. Naz, you know, calling in with us, you know, one of our frequent guests. It's always a pleasure to hear from him. Also, too, we want to give a shout out there to New Black Knowledge and also to Do the Knowledge Radio as well. To definitely give a shout out there, you know, to Mr. Jay Dizzle as well. And also, too, of course, we want to give our shout out there to our producer and our co-host, the one and only Mad Dr. D of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And definitely, of course, we want to give a shout out there to all our groups of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on our like page. Also, to check out the groups in which I'm the administrator, which is Black Men Working on Solutions, Pan-African Economics and Politics, and then in addition to, we also have our other side groups as well, too, you know, for our RBGs as well, too, RBG Consciousness, a shout-out to them, the Black Fist, a shout-out to them, definitely a shout-out there to the Chambers of the Origins of African Truth and what have you, and for all of those who are doing something very, very positive within the Black and Melanated community, and we must unite, ladies and gentlemen, on a common denominator. It's because, ladies and gentlemen, they are killing us. They are assassinating us, and they want us to be lullabied to sleep. Now, let's keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, about that Kool-Aid that was served down there in Guyana in 1978.
Talk to me.
Let's keep in mind about that Kool-Aid. Okay. Well, this white
Remind
pastor.
Me.
Oh, yeah, that's Jim Jones. Yeah, that's that Jim Jones shit where he had 800 people drink poison, the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's telling them it's Kool-Aid, but really the shit is cyanide. So we got to make it a point, ladies and gentlemen, not to go for this Kool-Aid.
Thanks.
Because they're out here assassinating us. And put these black-ass politicians on the spot. I want to see some of the black politicians go out here and make a liar out of me to go up there and do their jobs and protect our people. I want to see that. I want a black politician to go up there and make a lie out of me of what I say about these black-ass politicians. I want a black politician to go out there and start prosecuting some of these murdering-ass police officers who are cowards hiding behind badges killing us.
We got a lot of questions for them.
Oh, yes, sir. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So with that there, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to sign off from San Joaquin County, California, June 21st, 2018, closing out with the one and only Mr. Wes Montgomery, bumping on Sunset.
Peace.